The way the bill was passed, you know, that was one of the big problems that the plaintiffs had with it, was how it went in as a 7-page bill and it came out as a 28-page bill. And I don't know if you're interested, Dan, but, you know, the precedent that that sets when they say, well, that information, you know, what they added was germane to the bill, it's a little bit frightening, because what it means, if the Republicans have a supermajority in each chamber, they can pass two different versions of a bill, send it to conference committee, and pretty much the Supreme Court just gave them carte blanche to just change it however they wanted it. And that had not been the case before. So with big things like the charter school bill, you know, I mean, we've got some big stuff on tap here. And I'm, you know, that's a wide permission that the Supreme Court just granted. So anyway.
I also wonder about the rationale for upholding the Alabama Accountability Act, really boiled down, and obviously we're not lawyers, this is a school policy sort of discussion. It seemed to me that the state Supreme Court was saying that it's not unconstitutional to give public money to private schools because the scholarship granting organizations are giving it to parents first. But if the parents take that money and give it right to the private schools, is that not really the same thing as public money that would normally go to public education going to private schools?
Well, I think what the court said, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but the way I interpret it is, some folks call these neo-vouchers, okay, across the country. And what it is, what the court is saying is that because the money never went into the Education Trust Fund, then it doesn't count as going to a private school. So that's a kind of a, I don't want to use the word slick, but it's a very literal interpretation of the money did not ever go into the Education Trust Fund. Therefore, when it goes to a private school, it's not as if it went to a private school from the Education Trust Fund.
Is that a distinction without a difference?
Probably.
Interesting. So you've been following the Alabama Accountability Act very closely from the start. You and I have had a lot of conversations about it. I mean, do you have an opinion on it as a whole?
Well, the Alabama Accountability Act, you know, it introduced school choice in Alabama. It was, people have said, it allowed the camel to get the nose under the tent, right? And more school choice is on its way. Alabama has not traditionally had school choice. I mean, it's either you go to public school, the school that you're zoned, or you take your child to a private school, or you homeschool your child. And so other areas of the country have been experimenting with school choice for many, many years. And Alabama is just now being awakened to the idea of school choice.
It does seem like there's a lot of momentum towards that right now, given the fact that the charter school bill is coming up very, very soon for a vote. That's sort of being fast-tracked from what I can tell.
Yes.
Why do you think this is happening now? Because, you know, Alabama is one of 8 states that does not have charter schools, which is sort of another form of school choice. Why do you think this is happening now?
What I hear, you know, as an observer, listening to the various groups discuss why we need school choice, there seems to be a huge push from business and industry. And I've been listening in for the last few years at the state level when they talk about that children who come out of school are not ready to go to work. Students who graduate high school need remedial classes when they go to college. And so there's something, the expectations for the K-12 world and what the kids need to know when they get out of the 12th grade is not matching up with what business and industry needs. And I think that this tug and tug of war that's going on between who's going to control the outcomes is what is driving this school choice movement. That's my take on it.
It sort of seems logical in a way that business groups would value competition as a means to improve anything, really. Do you think that's applicable to schools? Because some of the school choice, you know, I spoke with Del Marsh yesterday, one of the prime movers, well, the prime mover behind the charter school bill and the Alabama Accountability Act. He's one of the main people behind school choice in Alabama. And he thinks that the threat of competition in the same district or nearby is one way to improve a given school or school system. Do you think that's true with education? I mean, it's definitely true with who can make the best car, but is it true with who can educate children better?
I don't know that it's true. I don't think it's that clear when you get public and private education competing with each other, or public charter schools and public non-charter schools competing with each other. Because, you know, the private schools have fought over students for years, right? They compete with each other. But public schools in Alabama, it has just been so ingrained in us that there will always be a public school for your child to attend. You can't always guarantee the quality, but it's always going to be there. And so we have a learning curve, I think, to figure out that, yeah, you know, there will be some choice. And I think one of the big stumbling blocks has been for the school choice people has been proving to the ordinary citizen that school choice will apply to you. And we just cannot see, the Alabama public cannot see that school choice will ever be available to them. And I think that's where, you know, it's going to take a few years, I think, for people to really understand that I have a choice. Typically, the choice that's been offered to us has been through the magnet school sort of idea. And in a magnet school, you have to have a certain aptitude. You have to do something particularly well. And it's a competition among students as opposed to among schools. That's the kind of competition we're used to. So I think it's just going to take some time for folks to figure out, you know, I have access.
One of the original stated purposes of the Alabama Accountability Act was to get students who were in failing districts into better schools, private or public. But some reporting has shown that a lot of these scholarships are actually going to kids who are not zoned in failing districts, failing as determined by the standards in the Alabama Accountability Act. A lot of these scholarships are going to students, about half of them from what I've seen, have gone to students who are not originally in failing schools. What does that really mean? What's going on here?
Well, I think one of the biggest concerns that I have as an analyst, as, you know, wanting to look at this stuff, is there are no numbers. The numbers are few and far between. One of the SGOs, the scholarship granting organizations, has been fairly forthcoming with their
which
numbers.
Which one is it?
The Alabama Opportunity Scholarship Fund. And they have been very careful to share those numbers with people so that we can see who are the scholarships going to. There are a total of 9 SGOs currently in the state. The other 8, no one has really even investigated to see, well, where are your scholarships going? So I think if we could have some more transparency in where are the children going to school, what are their outcomes, because really that's what it gets down to. Are the children that are using these scholarships having better educational outcomes? There have been studies in other states that have these type of tax credit programs. And it sort of shakes out. Some kids do better. Some kids do worse. Most do about the same, which is sort of the story of public education. But for those families who do have better outcomes, I'm sure they're very, very pleased that they have access to those scholarships. But to your point about the dollars going to kids who are not zoned for failing schools, that is something that I think the community really needs to wrestle with, because that's the way the law is written. They are perfectly within their rights to award those scholarships to children who are not zoned for failing schools. And if that is something that the people of Alabama, if that's an affront to us, I think we need to let our legislators know that. The stated purpose of the Alabama Accountability Act was to allow students who were zoned to failing schools, and I'm using air quotes, but you can't see them when I say failing schools to transfer to non-failing schools, whether they be public or private schools. There were a number of mechanisms in there to allow parents tax credits, to, you know, offset the cost of transferring a child from the non-failing school. There were also this big mechanism for scholarship granting organizations, or SGOs, to accept donations and then use those donations to fund private school tuition. Or, you know, that money can also be used to offset costs to transfer students out of failing public schools. That's really the crux of the Alabama Accountability Act. There are some, you know, little things here and there, accountability measures, but the accountability measures, oddly, or maybe ironically, there are very few accountability measures in the Alabama Accountability Act.
So after all the legal wrangling and all the controversy, what are the ramifications of this ruling from the state Supreme Court upholding the Alabama Accountability Act?
Well, I don't think it comes as any surprise that the Supreme Court upheld the Accountability Act. I think one of the most concerning provisions of their ruling for me is this notion that the Senate and the House can go into conference committee and come out with a much thicker bill that really nobody has taken a look at. And that opened the door, you know, for a lot of different sorts of things to happen in conference committee.
Does it trouble you that, although it's not directly going to religious institutions, that state money is sort of ending up in religious institutions?
I don't know that the idea that they are religious institutions bothers me. I'm more concerned about the idea that we're not fully funding the foundation program for schools. Okay, back in 1995, we said we're going to have this foundation program, and it's going to include these components, and the legislature is going to make sure that there's funding for that. And, you know, Dr. Bice, our state superintendent, has now put forth a plan, a multi-year plan, budget plan, to get back to fully funding the foundation program over the next 3 years. Now, I'm sitting here thinking we're not fully funding the foundation program, but yet we're going to let money leak out of other places to fund education in other places other than traditional public schools. That's where I am having trouble reconciling the numbers.
Are there any particular aspects of that standard foundation program that are underfunded that come to mind?
Yes. Things like textbooks. Professional development. It's been a number of years since professional development has been funded. And again, if you listen to our state education leaders, they'll tell you our biggest investment is in our people, in the teachers and the principals and the people teaching our children in classrooms every day. But yet we have no money set aside on a regular basis to fund their further training. And how can you continue to improve education in the classroom when you don't provide continual training to the people who are actually delivering the instruction?
I know you try to spread information as opposed to opinion, but do you have an opinion on the Alabama Accountability Act?
Honestly, my opinion is still out. I would like to see more accountability provisions in the Alabama Accountability Act. I think that the fact that we don't know where the children are going to school, we don't know how their educational outcomes are working for them or not working for them, there are problems there. I read a report. I was looking at a report yesterday from one of the states with one of these programs, and it was a, you know, 52-page report on the state of the tax credit program put out by their Department of Education. And it was rich with numbers and outcomes, and they've had the program in place for a long time. And it had so much information where you could literally judge, is this program working? And if it's not working, how do we improve it? I mean, there are a number of things that could be added to the Accountability Act that would make it a much better law, in my opinion.
If there is that lack of sort of data and results to judge it by, are you optimistic that the state, that our educational system here in Alabama will do any better with this parallel charter system that it looks like we're about to create?
Having read the charter school bill, there are lots and lots and lots of accountability provisions in there, and that the charter schools will be subject to the same assessments, the same standardized testing, the same accountability measures. They'll be graded with the same measures that will be ultimately used when we start using this A through F report card in the next year or so, whenever that happens. They will be subject to the same federal accountability provisions that non-charter schools will be subject to. So there, you really are comparing apples to apples. But the money that goes through the Alabama Accountability Act, through the SGOs, out to the non-public schools, you know, you have to remember that non-public schools also are not regulated by the State Department of Education. A law was passed that same session in 2013 to completely remove all regulation ability of private schools from the State Department of Education.
Is there anything else you think our listeners should know?
As you would expect, I would like to see more conversation about this happening in our communities. I think that oftentimes we leave this complicated world to the legislators and the policymakers, but public education affects all of us in our communities. We may be divided by school district lines, but those are invisible lines. We don't have those borders. And our children are all commingling. They are all, you know, going to be working in this world together, going to college together. They're making the next world. We have a stake in what happens in public education. So I appreciate the opportunity to share this information about the Accountability Act. It matters. And we as a community really need to take our place at the table.